Let's go. We've been in Luke, and we're going to go back to Luke, but I just, in my personal studies, I told you before, I don't really teach topically much anymore. I like to just go verse by verse, but I've been in my personal devotion that me and Sister Wiggins have, we've been going through the book of Romans, and this is Romans chapter 3, and so let's all stand. And what I want to do, Brother Carl, is if you could, is we're going to go back, but let's put Romans 3 and 1, verses 1 and 2. If you could go ahead and put those up on the board. Yeah, that's perfect. That's fine. And this is really our text, and it says, "Then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the value of circumcision? Much in every way, to begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God." And if you start off there on chapter 1, you're going to say, what are we even talking about here, Brother Wiggins? What are you just start off asking, does the Jew have any advantage over a non-Jew? And so this, in my opinion, was one of the places where I wish they would have made the chapter break in a little bit. You know, the original, when Paul wrote this, it wasn't divided into chapters. When Paul wrote it, it was one letter. And later, it's been less than 1,000 years ago that they divided it into chapters, and I believe like less than 800 years ago that they divided it into verses. So let's go to Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. And if you look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 28, he says this. He says, "For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly." And without jumping into my thought, I will just say that no one is a Christian who is merely Christian outwardly. So, "For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical." Paul says circumcision is not outward and physical, true circumcision. He says a Jew is one inwardly. And circumcision is what? A matter of the heart. By the Spirit and not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. So basically, Paul is telling them, listen, it's the circumcision of the heart, not the outward form of circumcision on a man, that makes him a Jew. And so that's why he starts off in chapter 3 saying, well, then what advantage does the Jew have then? Or what value is circumcision? If it doesn't matter, if it's really the circumcision of the heart, what does it matter? You know, what advantage does the Jew have over the Gentile? And then Paul says, much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. And then he says, what if some were not faithful? What if some were not faithful? Let me ask you, did Israel faithfully stay with God through the Old Testament, or did Israel fail? They failed. And so he says, listen, Israel was entrusted with the Word of God, the oracles of God. But then he says, but what if some were unfaithful? In other words, just because Israel was unfaithful to God, does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar. For as it is written, that you might be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. And so I'm going to preach this. I don't know if I'm going to get through all of this, because again, Sister Wiggins has placed me on very strong constraints today. But if I can't get through all of this, I'll finish it next week. I want to talk about trusting in Him when no one else does. Trusting in Him when nobody else does. Let's pray. God, we're thankful for Your Word. Lord, the most important thing we could do in this service is to come here, and after we've worshiped You, to worship You with Your Word, Lord. To open Your Word and let it speak to our hearts. And God, we come to Your Word this morning with reverence and godly respect and fear. And we pray, Lord, that you would open our minds and our hearts to understand what your word says, Lord. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated today. I already kind of said it, that Paul was telling them back in the tail end of Romans 2 that, listen, a Jew, that is one outwardly. In other words, a Jewish man, I don't mean to speak so plain, but a Jewish man who has been circumcised. And I think we pretty well all know what circumcision is. Okay. And he says, a Jewish man, a Jew is not a Jew which is one outwardly. In other words, having that outward circumcision does not make you a Jew. It says, but a Jew is one who is one inwardly. And the true circumcision, the real circumcision, is not an outward thing. The real circumcision is the circumcision of the heart. Amen. Something that is on the inside of a person. And that's what Paul was saying there on the tail end of that chapter. And you can see other places where Paul, look in Revelation. Now you'll understand when Paul was writing to the church of Smyrna, now you can understand a little bit about why he was saying this. He said to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And then look at this. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. What Paul had said in Romans, this is John writing here, but he said a Jew that is only merely a Jew outwardly is not a real Jew. A real Jew is somebody that has a circumcision of the heart. Their heart has been changed. Their heart has been regenerated. And let me tell you something. If you can get the inside right, the outside can get right too. Okay? But just because the outside appears right doesn't mean everything is right on the inside. And so that's why it's good for all of us to check our hearts sometime and just say, listen, I don't want to go through the outward forms of Christianity. There are people that come to church and to them, being a Christian is merely just a matter of attending a church service and singing. You know what? I want more than that in my life. I want that circumcision of the heart. I want my religion on the outside and all of that, but I also want my religion to be on the inside. If you'll remember, Jesus told them, the Pharisees, he says, you're like whited sepulchers. You know, a sepulcher is what they would bury people in. It would be in a graveyard, in a cemetery, a sepulcher, and it would be like a little building, like a crypt. And what they would do is they would put people in there, bury them in there, and they would whitewash the outside and make the outsides look white and painted and beautiful. But what did those sepulchers have on the inside? Dead people, corpses. And Jesus told the very religious Pharisees, he said, listen, he says, you guys are like sepulchers. On the outside, you have the appearance of godliness. On the outside, you look like you have it all together. But man only sees the outward appearance, but I, the Lord, can see the heart, the inside. And he says, listen, when I look inside of you Pharisees, all I see is deadness. I see dead men's bones, and I don't want that. I don't want to just have my religion be on the outside. I want to have a river of water, amen, the Spirit of God flowing on the inside of me as well. You hear what I'm saying? And if you look at, remember, so in Revelation, he said, they say that they're Jews, but they're really of the synagogue of Satan. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. He says, look out for dogs. That sounds kind of weird. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. You say, well, what do you mean mutilate the flesh? What is he talking about when he says, watch out for those who mutilate the flesh? People who practice circumcision as a religious requirement. nothing wrong in saying, hey, I want my child to be circumcised. That's fine. But it's when somebody gets up in a pulpit and says, yeah, circumcision's got to happen. No, he says, beware of people that mutilate the flesh. For we, the church, whether you be Jew or Gentile, we are the true circumcision. We are the real circumcision who worship. Amen. It's not just an outward thing, but we worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus. And we put no confidence in our flesh. It's what we've got. It's what we've got in our hearts. That is what going to control what we are on the outside. Again, if you can get that inside right, that outside's going to follow. And look at even back in the Old Testament, you know, on one hand, you can read the law. And he said, listen, if a man will not be circumcised, then put him out. That was the Old Testament law. You know what? You know what? Put him out, cut him off from the people, because he's not going to follow the commandment of circumcision. And if you'll remember, Moses's wife didn't want their son to be circumcised, because, you know, it'd make him cry. And so if you'll remember what happened in the book of Exodus, it says the Lord sought to kill Moses because he hadn't circumcised his son. So you say, Brother Wiggins, look, that sounds pretty necessary to me. Yeah, it was necessary to be circumcised. But listen to these Old Testament scriptures about the true circumcision. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and no longer be stubborn. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, in other words, of your children, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Hundreds of years later, there was a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. And if you remember, Jeremiah was the one that God told him. He said, when you were still in your mother's womb, I knew you and appointed you to be a prophet over Israel. And when Jeremiah wrote his prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 4, he says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord, remove the foreskin of your hearts, O men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. See, this is what Paul was talking about on the tail end of Romans chapter 2, when he says, listen, he is not a Jew who is only has the outer circumcision. Amen. He is a Jew that has the inward circumcision of the heart. And that's what Paul was saying there. He says, you've got to have that inner circumcision of the heart. Church, that's what I want. That's what I want in my life. That's what I want. I want to tell you something. I've met some good, good, good Christian people over the years. In fact, yesterday I went to a retirement service for Gary Gleason. Sister Carmen, Gary Gleason has retired. And Stan Gleason, his son, takes the church next week. He's pastored there for 46 years. It's the only church that he's ever pastored. Went there when he was 26 years old. And I'm sorry, what's that? Sister Williams, I thought it was 26 or 27. 27 years old, okay, sorry. But let me just say this. We went to that retirement dinner yesterday. And I don't want to belabor the point. Everybody knows me and Sister Wiggins have been very, very sick. We didn't even darken the door of the church for a month. And I had some people, a couple of them in particular, that when they walked up to me, they just broke down and started crying. And they just told me, they said, Brother Wiggins, you don't know how good it is to see you and Sister Wiggins here. And I want to tell you, over the years, I've had some unbelievably good experiences with the people of God, where true Christian character was manifested,
where the true essence of being a Christian was coming from the person, a regenerated spirit, somebody that's following in the ways and in the footsteps of Jesus. Very few, not very many, there have been a few times that I have had some grossly, grossly negative experiences with people that were supposed to be Christians. And I want to tell you something. As a young man, Brother Johnson, that was a young preacher, can I tell you one of my bad experiences? Brother Johnson, I was a young preacher. I wanted to be around preachers. I felt a call on my life, and when somebody would come by the church and preach, man, after service, I wanted to spend time with them. And I always did. And just as a young man, it was just like, man, I love being around some of those elders to hear their wisdom. You know, we just sit down after service and talk. Brother Johnson, I can remember one in particular that he could get up in a pulpit, and I mean, it was like a bomb had gone off. He could just preach with such vigor and such power, and to where you'd just say, oh my goodness, what a preacher. But the problem was that in his personal life, he wasn't like that. In his personal life, he was very arrogant. In his personal life, he was very condescending. In his personal life, he would say things that were ugly. In his personal life, the way he treated his wife made me very quickly say, no man that treats a woman like that is ever going to be a mentor for me. You hear me? That's the way I feel about treating a lady right. And I want to tell you something. There is nothing more disappointing. There is nothing that will let you down more than going and getting in the presence of somebody that you think, oh, man, now this guy really has it. This guy really has it. Let this be a mentor to me. And then find out that he does, that he only has the appearance on the outside. And just like Paul said, he is not a Jew which just looks like one on the outside. He is a Jew who has it on the inside. And the true circumcision is the circumcision of the heart. And oh God, I want to be that way. Oh God, I want to have that circumcision of the heart. The circumcision of the heart. And really, to be honest with you, then chapter 3 goes on into what advantage has the Jew. And maybe Sister Wiggins, am I allowed to preach anymore? Or is this it? Is this, if I'm about to get the look. But church, let's all stand. I think I'll finish chapter 3. I think I'll go in this again next week and look at the first three verses. Paul ends. Let me tell you, this is something I want to say to you. In order for you to really understand, and Carl, can you get me Romans chapter 2 and the first two or three verses of Romans chapter 2? And you can just, while you're standing, to really understand this, you know, the hind part of chapter 2, where it says, you know, he's a Jew, not which is just one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision of the heart is an inside thing, not an outward thing. Okay, to really understand what happens, to really get the punch of what Paul was saying, do you guys remember in Romans 1 where he lists all those sins? And you go to it when you're going to teach against homosexuality. Because it says that when they knew him as God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then it says, because they didn't care to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to their vile affections to do what they do. And it says that women changed the use of their bodies, and that men burned with lust one toward another, and women with women, men with men, working that which was unseemly. Is that a little bit more familiar now? And so, I mean, I'm going to tell you something. Could you imagine Paul preaching that? You'd be on your feet saying, get them, Paul. Get them. Get them, Paul. Yeah, sick them. Man, get those guys. Get them. I'm going to tell you something. All the wind's going to get knocked out of your sails when you go to chapter 2. Because the end of chapter 1, he's socking it to people that are living in wickedness and idolatry and homosexuality and all kinds of vile sin. But then at the beginning of chapter 2, he says, you have no excuse, O man, for every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you judge but practice the very same things. So all that stuff in chapter 1, where he's talking about women with women, men with men, working that which was unseemly, and receiving in their bodies the just judgment of God for their vile actions. Sure, that stuff is wrong, but Paul also said, but listen, there are some of you that on the outside things look right, but you practice the very same things. And so that's why at the end of chapter 2, Paul says, listen, the true circumcision is not an outward thing. The real circumcision, the one that matters, is a circumcision of the heart. And the last thing I'll say, I'm sorry you've been standing for so long. I think of the 51st Psalm when David was repenting for his sin with Bathsheba. And he said, oh, create in me a clean heart, O God. O God, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David was saying, oh God, let my heart be right. Oh God, let my heart be right. Oh God, let my heart be right. Let's worship the Lord today. God, I praise you, Jesus. Oh Lord, I thank you. Lord, I magnify your name. Lord, you are so worthy. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be glorified and honored. Oh, Lord, you are on your throne today. Oh, God, touch my body, but also my heart. Oh, God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Cast not your presence away from me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me, oh, God, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's just take a moment and just kind of let our minds be on God while Sister Wiggins sings through this chorus. Oh, Jesus. Worship the Lord today. God, I praise you. God, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I plan on next week going ahead. I've got something I want to say about these other verses in Romans, and then we're going to jump back into Luke. But folks, this was my first time teaching or preaching in over 1 month. So I don't know how important it was to you, but it's pretty important to me. And this was just one of the longest breaks from preaching I've taken in a long time. And again, I want to say I'm thankful for all that Brother William Johnson did while we were gone. And I also say again, I've already said it, but thankful to everyone who prayed while we were.